Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
The achar of a strict smarta brahmana and a strict Vaishnava may externally be hardly distinguishable, but the consciousness is completely different. For instance, A. The smartas observe varnashram dharma as a means to engage and satisfy their own worldly desires. The Vaishnavas observe it for the satisfaction of Vishnu. Right? So in other words, it's God's creation, and there are laws governing it. Right? So the Varnashram then gives everybody a position within the universal affairs. And therefore, a position means an identity, activities, and therefore results. Right? And so that identity will be how you engage with everybody else, what is everything. So the smartas will look at it, I'm doing, and if you do that, that's pleasing to the Lord. Right? And one's own satisfaction is based on the pleasing the Lord. Right? So then you get the element that they're trying to please the Lord, but in their pleasing of the Lord, their only result, what the result they want is their own satisfaction. Right? So in other words, they're following the Varnashram to please the Lord, so that they can get all the material facilities they want. Material facilities or liberation or anything like that, right? The Vaishnavas are following the Varnashram system to please the Lord because that's the goal, is to please the Lord. You understand? Their pleasing of the Lord is simply part of the process, right? In other words, you do the duties, you please God, right? That's your process. And the result is, then you get, you know, material facility. But for the devotees, it's you perform your activities, and the result is you please the Lord. Does that make sense? So if good facilities come or not, that's a side thing, right? In other words, you're going to get the pleasure of the Lord, and you may, because of the area you work in, it may, expand that area, right? Does that make sense? I work within the cooking area, and by working in the cooking area to please the Lord, I end up with a lot of prasad. Does that make sense? But the point is that you're trying to please the Lord. Right? That's the goal. So they only look at it that I please the Lord, I get all the prasad, rather than I'm trying to please the Lord. And then, you know, the symptom he's pleased is now we have the prasad. Understand? So it's a shift in the consciousness, yes.
Sometimes there is an anxiety, then we please the Lord, but there might be no prasad.
There might be no prasad, yes.
So then how do we deal with this?
The point is if the Lord is pleased, then the situation will go how he feels it should. Because the idea is, why are we trying to please the Lord? It means as Vaishnavas, not as smartas.
As Vaishnavas, we
means
want
to you understand. Means you put your the smart you know conditioning behind. You know, just okay.
We please the Lord, and then He is pleased, and it's up to Him. You know what it's His results.
Yes, yeah. The results are His, so He can do with them as He likes. So if we'll end up with some of them, then nice. And if we don't, then that's another thing. But the point is if you're willing to do that activity, even though you may not get any prasad as a result of that, then that's pleasing to the Lord. It's not that he doesn't want you to get, he wants to see how much he's important or the prasad's important. Right? You understand? Now, look, just to take it back, just it means now the Lord and his energy are non-different. Right? So in other words, the energy is going to be the complement of that aspect of the Lord. Right? But it has a different flavor, therefore it's designated differently. Okay? So then we see the energy also does that same thing. They want to see who's more important, themselves or the facilities. Right? You understand? That's because that originally comes from Krishna. Just the flavor and how it's gone about is different. Does that make sense? But it's the same principle. Okay? Yes.
Which scriptures they follow the smartest?
The smartest depends. Well, I mean, it mentions here. Oh, maybe we forgot that part here. Okay. The smartest, on the other, means here is saying the Vaishnavas perform their duties according to Parama Purusharthika Smriti Shastras like Narada Pancharatra, Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sri Satriya Sar Deepika, and Samskara Chandrika Padati, which reveal the Krishna conscious purport to the duties of the Varnas and Ashrams. The smartest, on the other hand, follow Purusharthika Smriti Shastras like Karma Vipaka, Maharnava, Karma Kanda Padati, Prayaschitta Kadamva, Prayaschitta Padijata, and Prayaschitta Pradipika, Smarta Vyavastarnava, and so on. Okay, I mean, you can't get Karma Kanda Padati. You're not going to get much more clear than that.
Hardcore names.
Yeah, no, it's just that, yeah. So basically is that your Vedic rituals are, there are certain elements and they're all the same, but depending upon what exactly is your focus or that, they may be put together in different proportions or repetitions or emphasis, but otherwise they're all the same principle like that. So that's why it doesn't really matter what is the background of it. Right, so our acharyas have given us, so it doesn't matter if they're seemingly similar or seemingly different than the others, because the principles are all the same, what they're trying to do. It's just how you consider it. You know, it's just like, how you say, like after you install the deity, then there's the you use the, I think it's the, No. I think it's just there's a thing where then you circle the deity, and then the element is what's, it's a protection. So you look at it. For, we would look at it from the area that maybe they'd be protected. At the same time, is that may they be comfortable in that area? Well, for the smartest, it may you stay in there. You know, they don't want them to go out and apply the energies elsewhere. I've installed you here, so stay here. You know, don't go. You understand? Uh-huh. But the kind of conscious, you mean, if you say it's protection, yes, it is, but it protects, you know, that they'll stay there and, you know, this and that protects that I'll get what I want. So the ritual is kind of the same, but there'll be some difference in the consciousness of it. Like that.
Yes. A friend or two on the chat.
Huh.
Two, also right next to, just in the folder.
He seems to like it.
Good friend.
Sticky folder.
Yeah, it's cold. So. Okay, and then the other one. About this side. No, he's a little more.
He saw what happened to the other person.
I'm not going to sit on a rock. I think I'm going to sit on a rock. I look like I want to sit on a rock. Yeah. Okay, so then B. Though the smartest officially worship Lord Vishnu, they think him subject to reincarnation and the regulations of Shastra. Side by side, Vishnu, the smart... Side by side, Vishnu, the smartest worship demigods as equals to him. Their attitude is offensive, and thus their worship is never accepted by Lord Vishnu. Right. So they may be worshiping, it means that maybe they are specifically focused on worshiping Vishnu, so they'll call themselves Vaishnavas, or there's not a problem, because Panchopasana means five deities, so Vishnu is one of them. But they'll consider them, in any case, all the same. That's why, therefore, the point, the name of Krishna and the name of the demigods are not equal, because smartas who follow the same kind of engagement in activities will consider it that way. We may think, well, what is this about? You know, we don't have that problem. Yeah, because, I mean, this means that, you know, who from your neighborhood has that problem, right? You know, have you ever met anyone else in New York or Los Angeles, Paris, you know, Tel Aviv, anywhere where they have a problem with this? No, because that's why, because you probably haven't bumped into any smartas, you know, people who actually follow the Vedic rituals, right? You know, of course, according to the Mlechapadati, you know, it doesn't matter, right? You know, nobody's special, right?
Whatever's on TV.
Right? You know, it's like, for the Mlechas, nobody's special. For the smartas, everybody's special, right? For the Vaishnavas, then Krishna's special, right? Okay. So the thing is they think he is in the mode of goodness, so therefore he's subject, the reincarnation is because he has to. He's done this activity, therefore he comes back as that. Does that make sense? So they'll look at it this way. And then the other demigods are there. So they're not looking at the form of the Lord as eternal. That's what makes them a smarta. So even though they may be specifically worshippers of Vishnu, they're not counted as Vaishnavas. Technically, because they worship the Vishnu as their deity, then you can say someone who worships Vishnu is Vaishnava. But they're not Vaishnava from the point of actual consciousness. They're only Vaishnava by ritual, not by conscience. Because for the smartas, that's what's important. The ritual's right, everything's right. Right? Because the point is their consciousness is to enjoy. Does that make sense?
So they don't know who actually Vishnu is.
They don't actually know who Vishnu is. So that's the point. They don't understand his eternal form. Yes?
Do they have any conception of Supreme? Because if Vishnu reincarnates, then they just dismiss God altogether.
No, Brahman Supreme. You know, so they'll always fall into that. Because in the material consciousness, it's either enjoyment supreme or Brahman supreme. You know what I'm saying? You know, and you can also work it out. Hey, you know, it's like, you know, Brahman supreme, but hey, we can enjoy. You know, so like that. You know, the smarter ones work that one out. It's like, you know, does that make sense? You know, they're not so smart walk around flogging themselves. Or, you know, stuff like that. Smart ones are having a good time, you know. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
And they connect them with karma mimamsa?
That's the same. Karma mimamsa and smartas are the same. Like that. That's non-different. Not that it's specifically the same. Smarta just means one who's attached to following those rituals because of the benefits they'll get. And they don't actually understand the higher principles behind it. Karma mimamsa is a philosophy that makes itself attractive to the smartas. So generally the smartas all follow karma mimamsa. Like that. That's explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that because they present the element of the supreme and of good work and all this, therefore then the smartas take it up. But they're not actually understanding that it's atheistic. So much of the time the smartas think that they're actually Vaishnavas. Right? They don't understand that they're not Vaishnavas because they have been tricked by the so-called seemingly Vaishnava presentation of Jaimini. So if it's explained nicely to them, and it means, in other words, if they're more on the element of the sincerity of worshipping Vishnu, then when they come in contact with the pure devotees, then they'll take that up. If their actual point is just the facility for material benefit, then even they come in contact with the bona fide Vaishnavas, they won't be interested. Not in the pure devotional service. They might, because ritual is what's there, we're doing that ritual, they don't mind. Though they, you know, does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. C. Smartas observe Ekadasi to enhance their sense of self-accomplishment. Vaishnavas observe Ekadasi to enhance their devotion to the Lord. Right, so self-accomplishment, that you fasted, you've done something like serious like that. So, in other words, the vrata is what's important, not that the vrata is to please the Lord. Does that make sense? Yes.
Could it be a preaching option to kind of take the smarta view if you're speaking to an atheist? Like, you get something out of it, or should we be wary about
that? But then the problem is then how long it will take to get him to the Vaishnava viewpoint. So in other words, you present the Vaishnava viewpoint, and what's the actual standard. And then in bringing it into the practical application, they can work from the position they're in. So it doesn't really work to do that. That means, why would you do that? It means Jaimini and all these others have already done that. You know what I'm saying? That's what they've done, is started them on the progressive path, but it's the slow progressive path. Does that make sense? You know, so it may take them thousands of lifetimes to get up to a higher level, but there's no guarantee that they'll ever actually take up true Vaishnavism, right? So the point is to go beyond the conditioning, right? You go beyond the conditioning to the absolute truth. From there, then they can appreciate. You can explain that platform to anybody. You just have to be able to use the proper examples, right? And to, you know, simplify it to, you know, how, in other words, how simple, complicated, sophisticated or not the individual is, that how they view the world. Then you present the absolute truth on that platform. Then it'll be accepted. There's no question that you can't discuss Vedanta with anybody. It's universal religion, means it can be discussed with anybody. Then, once that's understood, then you drop it down into their conditioning and show how they can connect. You understand? So then the difficulty comes then is just how much they'll appreciate the personal aspect. Because the tendency will be, the impersonal is easy to establish with everybody, because that's the most, I'd say, with the conditioning universal. Right? Because the conditioning can accept that much. Right? So the Brahman and Paramatma aspects, they can accommodate. But then to be able to bring them to the personal platform, that you have to think more and take a little more time, yes.
But in order to explain that God actually cares, you have to bring it into the personal, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So when...
I mean, you can... But with the mix, like basically you could say your world religions, they mix it. God cares, but God's impersonal, has no form and doesn't think about these things. But, you know, hey, like that.
You know, as long as you don't talk too much about
it. Yeah, if you don't bring it up, get too technical, who cares? You know, it's like for the kid goes into the kitchen. As long as the cookies are there, he's not worried beyond that. You know, it's not that the great, you know, deep, you know, maternal affection of his mother for him and that, like that. And, you know, we were just thinking this morning, it was interesting how the modes of nature, they change. So, therefore, there's different tastes the society goes to. Like, you know, the tastes of the 50s were very different from the 40s, very different from the 60s. So you can say, oh, the 70s, because the modes of nature had a slightly different combination. So the taste, and everybody thought, no, this is where it's at. Then it changes, you know. So then and the thing is, you can see is that what is happening? Variety is happening. So you can taste the different varieties of, you know, the 8,400,000. Right? Because culture can stay the same throughout all that. It means the person in that particular age, under those modes, thinks, no, this is reality, this is the real thing. And without this, you actually aren't part of the world. But the point is, as people... Cultured people have been doing the same thing. You can go back into history. You know, amongst the Greeks, they were doing the same thing. You go up to the Romans, you know, still the same thing. You go into the medieval times, still same thing. Into all these things as you come through, those who are cultured, they're following the same lifestyle, same value system all throughout. So that value system is always there. Then there's the common on the street, you know, what the modes are presenting. Does that make sense? And then that keeps changing. So then that's always going on. But then the problem is then influenced by that, people will think, no, you have to do it like this. This is the modern thing. Right? Means then you're up to date. This is the world. Are the two of you somehow or another connected? Means the two brahmacharis. Twins. Okay, yeah, because I was looking at him here and I thought he's here. And then the devotee in front moved over so I couldn't see him. And then I saw you, and then I thought he was over here, and then he's over there, and think, wow, dyslexia is far out. It even does the location. It's not just the letters. It also changes where things you think something was. And then I look up again, and now you're sitting over here again. And I said, wait a minute. Okay, then I thought, okay. Yes.
But can you make some comparison between smartas and Krishna mentality?
Means anything that's not pure devotional service, you can compare it with the Krishna mentality. Smarta is one option. Smarta means more motive goodness, but attached to the ritual, that the ritual, the form of it is the actual thing. But you even find it down on the street, right? On the street, the guy has... Everybody's sitting around, you know, and there, but they all have tattoos. So the guy without tattoos, there's something wrong with him, right? No? And then you have all the guys sitting around with tattoos, but they're all in, you know, just a regular ink. So therefore, the guy with some color in it, there's something wrong with him. You know what I'm saying? Then they're all sitting around and all that, but they're all something more medieval and this and that. And this guy got Japanese tats, so there's something wrong with him. Right, then you're sitting down there in Tokyo, they all got Japanese tats, and this guy's got some medieval thing. There's something wrong with him. Right? You understand? So the point is that whatever is there, if the idea is that whatever is not pure, that's always going to be the problem that the neophyte has. It's just which one. So smarta is one option. So you'll always find someone who has problem with the smarta aspect. Same way as someone has problem with the opposite, the mode of ignorance. They just can't follow anything. It has to be their own idea. You know, this modern thing is that, no, we're free, we do what we want. They're thinking this is coming from a higher consciousness. No, it's lower. That's mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance is just what you willfully do rather than what is authority. So therefore, the smart, when it comes to the conservative, the liberal, the conservative's consciousness is actually higher. But unfortunately, they're applying it in a restricted way that society can't progress. It will stay at a particular level of interaction, but it can't go beyond that because they can't apply it to the person. Right? Does that make sense? So using the mode of goodness, but using it very narrow. And the liberals are trying to make it very broad, but they're using the mode of ignorance as their tool. So what are you going to get out of it? You know what I'm saying? It means the conservatives today, the actual conservatives that have power and influence, you can trace those families back hundreds of years doing the same thing, and they're still there. And the liberals, every 5-10 years, they change, and you never hear of them again. So which system is actually viable? You know what I'm saying? But the point is it never progresses. That's the problem. Because they don't actually know how to use the mode of goodness. Does that make sense? So therefore you're going to get everything. Whatever can go wrong in the material world, the conscious, that's what the neophyte is having to wrestle with, because that's what they're coming from. So if he's from a smarter background, smarter will be his problem. If he's from a liberal background, that will be his problem. You know what I'm saying? If he's a nebbish, that will be his problem. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point. As he chants and becomes purified, then the living entity stops identifying with the conditioning, because the conditioning will stay the same. But he stops identifying with it. Therefore, his consciousness goes up. Now he can engage that rather than for himself. In other words, if I am this body and the mind, then what the body and mind are dictating, that is me and that's what I require. But I also am a devotee, so therefore I try to balance those. But if I give up, I am the body and I am this mind, then it's like I am, you know, he's on the pure platform. So I want to engage in Krishna's service, so what facilities do I have in the way of the body and mind? Because that's what I'm going to do the work with. So therefore this body and mind is good for doing this kind of work. So therefore I'll do that work for Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's pure. Okay. So that's why it's all these mixes are a problem, but at the same time as if one is on the purified platform, they're not a problem. You know, does that make sense? You know, it's just like something to eat. If you're healthy, it's not a problem. But if you're sick, it's a problem. You know what I'm saying? People are saying, oh, fat food, that's bad. But that's only if you're fat. If you're not fat, it's not a problem. You know, you got the skinny brahmacharya, you can eat a bucket of halva and do it every day, you know, for the next 10 years, and he never gains, you know, one, you know, how you say, you know, gram, you know. You know, saying it doesn't matter. You know, the person with a weak liver, digestion, then they can't handle this, and that one with that, or, you know what I'm saying? So the whole point is, but if you're healthy, then all these things they say are bad are good. Like that, because if you look at another health book, then that's where it's at. You know, one guy says, you know, don't eat anything. The other, you know, and then that way you'll lose weight. And the other book says, no, eat whatever you want, you know, but just do it like this, and then you'll lose weight. You know, so it doesn't matter. It's whatever's your conditioning, that's what you have to deal with. You know, the problem is due to false ego, we think our conditioning is the cat's meow. So therefore, you know, that's the one that everybody should be following. Does that make sense? So that's why you have to go back to the acharyas.
Their attachment with this mode of impersonalism in a boat.
Yes, but even you have to understand is what does impersonal mean? Impersonal, because impersonal is not a problem. Impersonal is only a problem if it's exclusive. Right? Mayavadis are exclusive monists. Right? But Vaishnavas, Brahman, we accept Brahman. That's how everything goes on. It means you're sitting on the floor here and not falling through, right? Even though, you know, how you say, the physicist and, what is it, Hume?
Yeah,
would have a problem, you know? Does that make sense? Because it's all just individual things loosely held together with lots of space in between, right? You know? Does that make sense? So the point is that it's not a problem because it's Krishna's potency, but it's generic, so therefore it's impersonal. You understand? But it's the quality. So the impersonal, if you bring it to the qualities, then it's progressive. If it's without qualities, that's what, when we say it's impersonal, means we it's without the particular application to the individual. But the point is it's impersonal if it's not applied to God. Means even if you say, oh no, but we care about everybody, that's impersonal. Because who's this everybody? You know, and they say, oh no, I'm everybody. You know, so, you know, what do you mean you're everybody? Well, my mom named me everybody. You know, you know, we may laugh, but I just read yesterday about some, you know, a lady whose name is Moon Unit Zappa.
Okay.
Right? You know, it's like the thing that landed on the moon unit. Yeah, that's their name, Moon Unit Zappa, right? You know, like that. Not joking, look it up.
Frank Zappa's child?
Yes, Frank Zappa's daughter.
Of course.
Yeah, and the other kids there, it's also crazy names, I don't remember it. Yeah.
This point on Ekadasi, even in Vaishnava description of Ekadasi, it's very bewildering because there's a long list of all material benefits. I was wondering...
No, but who's that book written for? In other words, Prabhupada introduced Ekadasi, and what was the point of Ekadasi?
To
increase devotion. In other words, it's the best day, so use it for the best activity.
Yes.
It's just like we say, don't travel in Ekadasi. That's only because you could be getting so much more benefit. When you travel, the consciousness is, you know, this and that, you can't get things done nicely. But since that's the best day, and it's the best for spiritual, that's why you don't travel in Ekadasi. Not that traveling's bad. You know, it's just that you could get so much more benefit out of it. You know? So that's how we understood. Then there is a book that is there, was printed by the Gaudiya Math, and it's in Bengali, right? Not English, in Bengali, right? And we didn't, you know, devotees didn't bump into it basically until the 90s, right? Yeah. I mean, those who live around here know it's always been there, but somehow or another, those who don't live around here bumped into it in the 90s, and then, you know, like this. So the point is that's written for the congregation who has a tendency not to follow Ekadasi. So therefore, they'll at least follow Ekadasi because they'll know they'll get this benefit. You understand?
Yes.
So in other words, Ekadasi is so beneficial that even if they're looking at it with that slight mundane element, it's still beneficial. Even the smartest, they'll get benefit but they won't get the devotional benefit. They'll only get those material benefits. Because bhakti already includes everything from karma and jnana. Like that. So they'll only get those aspects. But the point is, let's say the smart is already following Ekadasi. Right? He's been following since he's young. Ekadasi is not a problem for him. Now if he becomes a devotee, Ekadasi for him is very easy. But even now today, Ekadasi can be a bit of a difficulty for some devotees. Even though they've been doing it for 20, 30 years. In fact, that's the point. I've been doing this for 20, 30 years. You know, give me a break. You know, you know. But for the smartest, hey, fine. You know, so that's the idea, is that even though they're only getting the material benefit, which is basically a waste, it's a waste. But at the same time, is if they do take up devotional service, they'll be very well situated. A smarta, a nicely observing smarta, if they do take up Krishna consciousness, the sadhana of Krishna consciousness, for them is just their normal lifestyle. But now what they've had to add is the proper consciousness. Right? But everything else, it's you know, a given. It's just, that's normal. That's the only advantage. But the problem is one can get so distracted by that advantage, you know, that you only see the material. So sometimes it's harder to make them into devotees because they already think, they're conditioned by the mode of goodness, they already think things are fine. Yes.
But then for us, it's sadhana and consciousness.
That's why it's mentioned in the Gita. About someone does something, they go to the heavenly planets and take birth in religious or, you know, kind of families. It's more pious. And those who didn't do that, it's less pious. So therefore, less pious means these elements of this mode of goodness are more of a challenge. But that's only a challenge to the conditioning. And it's only a challenge because the soul identifies with the conditioning. If the soul gives up that identification, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, the background is just as easy. Therefore, examples are given so that we don't feel, you know, we feel encouraged that if Magrari the hunter can become a pure Vaishnava, then surely we can. Right? You know what I'm saying? You know, does that make sense? Like that, yeah. I mean, it just looks like this. You think, the guys are sinful, right? They go down the street, you know, they drive by in their car, there's a guy there from the other gang they want to shoot, and they shoot him. But because they're using an automatic weapon, because they're not necessarily great shots, right? So the automatic weapon is more efficient, right? Being practical, of course. But the problem is it is on the street, you know, so the old lady, you know, and then the kid, and, you know, the lady mom with the baby, you know, they also get shot, you know? But the point is they're dead, right? So they're sinful, right? But they're dead, right? Magrari would take place and walk down the street and shooting somebody, and so the only way would be half kill them, and they would die slowly. You know, so that's a science to know how to set the trap to catch the animal so it will die slowly. It will die, but slowly. So how much more sinful is he, even than who we would call sinful? You understand? So now, if he can be saved and become a pure devotee, then definitely us. You know, because even in the modern context, you don't have people as sinful as the examples in Shastra. You know, it means who nowadays you have that's so powerful, he goes, catches the planets, ties them up, and puts them in the positions he wants. My son's being born, so I want you here, 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 here. Like that, you know, and don't move. Like that. Who has that kind of influence, right? You know, but Hiranyakashipu did. No, so Ravana did. Excuse me. You know, so it's, you know, so you know, so therefore these are extremes. So if they can become devotees, then surely we can. So that's the other side. Because for devotees, then the chanting is so powerful, even the background isn't so ideal. Very quickly that can be adjusted. If one wants it, adjusts much more quickly. Does that make sense? So one doesn't have to feel bad. Okay. D. Smartas bathe in the Ganga to be washed clean of sins. Vaishnavas think of the Ganga as nectar emanating from the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Right? So then, you go down to get free from sins. Like, he looks at okay, but look at it this way. That's only, you know, a one out of four so far. You know, that there's more, so maybe the percentage will go down. You know, so. Okay. No, but it's the point is because we see it as Ganga Devi, you know, the personality, and then coming from the Lord, the devotee, the holy dham, so all those different aspects. And then if there's on the side, okay, we're free from sin. But then why do you want to be free from sin? Right? To enjoy materially or to do service for Krishna more nicely?
Yeah, to do service
for Krishna. Okay, see, he's got his act. So, you know, so it's okay. You understand? Yeah. Okay. So it means, it's, you know, they may have that element of that, you know, some of the material mix, because we're looking at, it's material world so painful, we want to get out of that. So we want to be free from sin. But the point is, why do we want to get out? To serve Krishna. The point is as long as in the equation at the end is Krishna, it still works. The best is it's direct. I'm doing this to please Krishna, but if not, I'm doing this to please, you know, my mother and my grandmother and my sister and my mother, and, you know, like just the whole list of, you know, who you're thanking and all that. But at the end, if it's Krishna, then it still works.
Okay.
Jai. Jai. Okay. There's hope. Right. Okay. So in other words, they're not looking at the personal relationships, you know, the relationships of Ganga Devi and Krishna. They're just seeing, I can get purified by this, rather than, this is the water that washed the lotus feet of the Lord. Mm. Right? From that pastime that he did. So, of course, you know, he does these things because, you know, that's what is being arranged, so that there is piety, so you can elevate yourself and enjoy yourself. Right? Or get liberated. So, therefore, it's natural. He has to do that kind of stuff. Mm. Rather than, no, it's out of his mercy that he does that kind of stuff. Mm. Does that make sense? E. Smartas establish temples and install deities for economic considerations. They think by their rituals bring life to the form of the Lord. Right. So this is where you have to, you know, you have to see each element. Right. Right. In other words, economic consideration. Well, if we put in this deity, then all the Hindus will come, and then we get plenty of money. Right. You know, so yeah. So they think by their rituals bring life to the form of the deity. No, but it's not by that. It's by, you're just, in other words, the form is non-different. So the Lord, when we say installation, it's just we're making the commitment that he will always accept our worship, that we're going to do worship on a regular basis. So therefore, he will remain, he will be interactive with that. That's the actual. But they think, no, it's just a stone, that's it. I call the deity in by my rituals, and therefore the deity has to stay there. Yes.
In some deities, you have to get a living stone. Do smartas follow that?
Oh, they're the ones that will definitely follow that. But it's a living stone. You know, you understand? So that's all. That's just the rule, because then it's a particular. Yes.
When they install a deity, for example, they install Vishnu, and Vishnu works like a puppet, basically, to fulfill their desire.
Yes.
Does he agree for that role?
Not. I mean, one is that what element means, okay, where do they get the idea that there should be a deity?
From Shastra.
Yeah, and that particular form. And that they should use that particular ritual of installation and of worship. Who gave the Shastra? Okay, so in other words, that aspect, they're acknowledging the Lord. So therefore, on that level, to that degree, he reciprocates. Krishna says, as you surrender, he reciprocates. So they're following the Shastra, so they are pious. They maintain their piety. They get the benefits of that piety. They just don't get any devotion for it. Does that make sense? So it's not that, oh, they're, you know, just karmi rascals like those who are non-Vedic karmi rascals. No, they're getting the piety for it. Right? So when we say smarta Brahmins, they're accepted as Brahmins. We'll say, oh, they're not Brahmins. Yeah, it means they're not the topmost Brahmins, means Vaishnavas, but they are Brahmins. Right? And so the lifestyle and everything is Brahminical. Just that their consciousness has not got beyond Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. That's all. Right? So the realized Brahman is, he goes beyond that to bhakti. Right? Is that, so that's the difference. So that's our we're learning here to distinguish what is actually good and what's not. Otherwise, you go to the smarter house and say, this is all nonsense. But what's nonsense? The consciousness is nonsense. It's not what they're doing is nonsense. Right? So in other words, all they have to do is add Krishna. So what we'll do is get them to stop all their smarter stuff, stop all the mode of goodness, drop down to the mode of ignorance like us, because then we're comfortable to preach to them. And then, you know, now start chanting Hare Krishna. But they could start chanting Hare Krishna in the position they're in. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
This was also glory of Srila Prabhupada, that he didn't wait for his followers to get on the platform of mode of goodness. He preached right there.
Yes.
Then others, they couldn't, actually.
Yes. No, they couldn't. So they would have to compromise. Because that's the point. The Vedanta is applied whatever position you're in. Because the point is even you're dealing in the mode of ignorance, who's in control of the mode of ignorance? It's still, where did it come from? Where does its mechanics come from? It's still from God. So therefore, in that position, you can engage that in the Lord's service. It's inferior, you know. But the point is it works. So that takes that vision. So that's what Prabhupada had. Therefore, he could implant it. Then people think, no, we'll probably use those kind of things, but it's you know, the ages change, right? It's just 10 years later, right? And so it's just another set of modes that Maya just arranges. And so then, but we have to change the preaching and all that. Says no. So why don't you, first you have to start preaching. You know, just so you're getting it to do the ritual. Okay, that's nice. And because of that, they're associating with devotees, they're chanting, so that's the good part. But as far as understanding the philosophy, it means you understand it's connected to Krishna. But since you're getting so sophisticated in this modern distraction of the modes of nature, why don't you apply that same sophistication on understanding the philosophy and culture? Right? Then you get so much more benefit. Right? So one doesn't have to change, because the Vedanta is universal. They're trying to think that some kind of educated modern thing is universal. It's not universal. You know, you go out into the village, and much of the world's in the village. They couldn't care less about the intellectuals. They actually think there's something wrong with them. You know what I'm saying? It has absolutely nothing to do with their life, their value system, anything they have. Is zero. One has to remember, to follow that particular lifestyle, you either have to be in a city or out in the country living in a nice house, but still have a job in the city. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, farming, living off the land, it has to be a hobby. It can't actually be a lifestyle, an occupation. If it's an occupation, then you're just one of those uneducated farmers. So you can't be one of those liberal intellectuals. Does that make sense? So it's very, very narrow. But because they're the smart ones, they're the ones that write, they know how to use a computer, they can use their English, they have their, you know, the different things that communicate, it appears that there's so many of them, but there's not. You know, there's a few million of them on the planet out of, you know, 7 billion. That's not a lot. It's a very, very small percentage. But somehow or another, they consider that they are the world. You know, I mean, you had a bunch of, you know, guys that had long hair and didn't take a bath, and they get together and they sing "We Are the World." So I mean, it's not an uncommon thing. You know, it happens. You know what I'm saying? You know, you got a few guys sitting on some island in the Caribbean, you know, and it's Friday night, and they're all sitting around with their friends, and they're all pretty much, you know, drunk and all that, and they'll be saying, we're the, you know, and the whole world's them. You know, so it goes on everywhere. Everybody thinks this is it, you know. Yeah. Okay. Okay. They utilize temples for self-advertisement and for social and moral welfare, e.g. as hospitals and mundane day schools. Okay. Smartest think the only qualification for worshiping the deity is birth in a Brahmin family. Okay, now here we can say there's a difference. Okay, yeah. Okay. The smartest fail to understand that Nam Sankirtan is the life and soul of all religion in this age, including deity worship. They therefore see the deity as a statue and have no loving reciprocation with him. Right? So this particular... But now, which platform are they coming in from? They're coming in from a shastrically based mode of goodness. Not just a happenstance, a couple of touches of goodness with a good dose of ignorance. Does that make sense? So the element here is that therefore they come up with these things. In other words, if you drop down from transcendental, what do you have? Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Right? So it's their religion. Right? But it's based on birth. Right? And then they should do good welfare work for others. Right? There's your artha. Right? Then what's the benefit? I will enjoy by doing this. That's the kama. Right? And then eventually we'll get moksha. So it's just normal. This means they're functioning in those four, but in a scientific way. Does that make sense? So it's still just as useless, but it's a mode of goodness useless. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So we can say that was the time when the devotee was purified, he comes to the mode of goodness, and that's what he lives inside.
Means it's just like, did a bunch of hippies really care about social and moral welfare? No, but now as they're purified, now they are. Yes. But the point is you have to keep going. Pure goodness is what you're trying to get to. Right? You know, because before it's like, who cares? You know, it's like, whatever we do, that's the best. So I'm doing Krishna consciousness, that's the best. So it works. That's what I'm saying. Anything can work to advantage if it's fully focused on Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So even that seemingly social insensitivity worked to advantage, because then they go out and preach and maximum amount of people are exposed to Krishna consciousness. Right? So now, even the ones that they're worried about, the intellectual, they can appreciate the philosophy. I don't think there's anybody who doesn't appreciate the philosophy. It means people who, of course, there's going to be ones that just think this and that. But if someone's thoughtful, they'll always appreciate the Krishna conscious philosophy. Difficulty will come as how much they can relate to the culture that is being presented by, you know? So that will make the difference. But philosophically, they would, and so they come around a bit, but stay on their own. Like that. But so now to try to get those people to come around more, but if you don't present the philosophy that attracts them, why are they going to come around? Because already their life is sophisticated. Why do they need to come to your place to sit on your couch? They already have a couch 10 times better than what you got. Because the point is, you want to keep up, then, you know, every couple of years, every 2 years, you got to change that couch. But you have to remember, you walk in and it's so-called modern, but it's about 25 years old, or 20 years old, or at least 15. You know, it's 10 years later, right? The fashion's changed. So you're going to keep up with the modes of nature. It's very expensive. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's not up to date. You know what I'm saying? So the problem is then one wants to see is that universal element. Means if you present even the Indian culture in its sophisticated form, That's always going to be attractive, right? Does that make sense? I mean, you see, means 1,000 years ago, you know, then they had Persian rugs hanging on the walls, right? You know, so today they have Persian rugs. They don't go out of fashion, but Art Deco goes out of fashion. You know what I'm saying? It changes. So that's the whole point, is that one has to know what is eternal and use the eternal. So eternal on the philosophy, and if you want on the culture, use the eternal on the culture. People come, they're taken care of, they're given attention, you sit them down, you feed them, you give attention. Why do you go, what's going to happen when you go to a fancy restaurant? Right? Means you may get a little bit better quality food. Right? I mean, it's just a good restaurant and a fancier restaurant. You may get a little better food. You may not. Of course, the price is a lot different. But the attention you'll get is way more. You're paying for the attention to detail, to the interaction. That's what you're paying for. The other place is just to get anybody off the street. You got a waiter, it's just, you know, some girl comes there and if she looks nice and she's interactive and not lazy, then she gets the job. But at those other places, if he doesn't have a degree from doing 4 years of learning how to serve, you know, wait a table, you don't get a job. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. So all that's already in the Vaishnav culture. You know how we serve prasad and all that? If you follow the tradition, it's already there. It means you don't get higher class than that. You know what I'm saying? That's what they're looking for. We already have it. So we're thinking sophistication, but you know, we can't see it's already there in our own culture. You know? And it's not that mode of goodness, that's what's important. No, the philosophy is what's important. Right? So if that's there, the philosophy is there, devotion is there, then whatever culture you're using will be successful. But the point is, if we're talking about sophistication and this and that, you don't get more sophisticated than the Indian. You know what I'm saying? You just don't get. But then the problem is that takes purification to appreciate. That's the downside.
There's always a catch.
Yeah, there's always a catch.
Maharaj, seems to be, for me, that the most difficult preaching field is actually ISKCON inside devotees, from my experience.
But it may be considered the most difficult because it's actually the highest. Preaching to the karmis isn't the highest preaching. Preaching to the devotees is the higher preaching.
Like Krishna says in Bhagavad-gita.
Yes, because the point is you have to be, means the point of the mission is to make devotees, but then once you've made them, cultivate them. You know, the idea is that, oh, it's all about just making devotees, the frontline preach. The point is once you've made them devotees, now what? Okay, now you put in that time, maybe you worked on that person for 6 months, even you worked on him for 5 years, got him to be a devotee, great. Now what does he do for the next 60, 70 years of his life?
That's where the culture comes.
That's where the next thing is, and that's harder to do, right? It's like easy, it's like, now I'll give three scenarios, you know. And you go down to the bar, pick someone up, and the next morning before they wake up, you're out the door, okay? The other thing is then there's some dating, it's going on for some months, 6 months and all that, then it breaks up, right? Then, or you get married to the person and spend the next 30 years with them. Okay, what's the progression here? Which is more difficult?
Getting married.
Yeah, but you could say it's easy, it's just one person, you know the person, you go down the bar, you don't even know who they are, you know, hey. You understand? Because why? Because that commitment. So the point is that commitment to that culture, to that's difficult. You know, just doing whatever I feel like, that's easy. But engaging whatever I feel like in Krishna's service, that's more difficult. Right? So that's the thing, is that go out and just catch the person. It's not easy. So people who can do it, that's glorious. But the point is the ones who are best at that also know how to cultivate. That's the thing. You'll find the ones that are the best at making the devotees are the ones that know how to cultivate them afterwards. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point. Prabhupada was making devotees, but he also would cultivate them once they're there. So that's the next stage. So that's much of the time missed. So you have to have all. You know, and then it's only cultivation, not preaching. That's not right either. Right? Because the point is it's supposed to expand like that. So you have to have both. Okay. F. Smartas commit the offense of Artavad Harinama Kalpanam whenever they chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This is the offense of considering the chanting of Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities. So their thinking is just a fruit of activity. So they chant, means you go to, means there are smarta temples. They chant Hare Krishna. Right? And so there's a famous temple that these worship's been established by Shankaracharya. They're all hardcore Mayavadis. But when they have their festivals, they chant Hare Krishna. You know, they go out for 3 hours on the festival. Every day they chant Hare Krishna for 3 hours. And this is established by Shankaracharya. Right? But they see it as this is the best of fruitive activities. I mean, so many others are more difficult, but in Kali Yuga, the Lord's so kind that you get a ritual that's so easy and you get all the same benefits. So that's how they're looking at it. Yes.
So they don't get even a little benefit?
No, it means that they'll get all the material benefit. It means whatever material benefits one could get according to one's sincerity, that they'll get. But the devotional, it means devotion comes from devotion. You understand? Devotion never comes from karma. So even you're doing the right activity, if it's not been, you know, touched by pure devotion, it won't have a meaning. So the devotees, you know, in the sampradaya, then it's been touched by that devotion. So even they're doing it, then it's called mixed. Right? For them, it's just material activity. But for the neophyte, then it's mixed, because the pure devotion is there and the material desire is there. And then with time, if one is careful, then the pure devotion will take the prominence, and then one will only do pure devotion, and the material will be gone. Does that make sense? Though the benefits are still there, but you don't really care. Does that make sense?
Mayavadis get Sukriti?
They get Sukriti, but not Bhakti Sukriti. So in this case, whatever, in other words, whatever you get Sukriti in the area of the consciousness. Right. So if I'm doing this because it's purifying or pious like that, you'll get karma Sukriti. If you're doing it because of jnana by chanting Hare Krishna, I will get liberated, you get jnana Sukriti. Right? Or they study the Shastras and they know this is the pious, they get jnana Sukriti. But if it's in connection with pure devotion, then you get Bhakti Sukriti. Does that make sense?
So their problem is they won't associate with the devotees because they're already associating with the Mayavadis.
Yes, because they think we're already doing this. Mm. They don't know that it's the consciousness that actually makes the distinction. They think it's just the form makes the distinction.
Whereas someone from the West has their kami friends or the devotees, so they would be, it would be easier for them to pick the devotees.
Can be, but if it's just that they're very gregarious, so they just with everybody, so they're with the devotees, they're also with these guys. Mm. So you also see that. The really nice guy that every now and again shows up at the temple, very enthusiastic, and then he disappears for a while because he's very nice with everybody. You know what I'm saying? So it's an advantage if it was focused on the devotees, he'd be very nice and advanced very quickly because he would be very careful about committing Vaishnava aparad. But at the same time, since it's materially defined, then he's only getting Bhakti Sukriti because he's not committed to the process. Does that make sense?
Were you talking about Vrindavan Vas?
No, but where have they heard the name from? Yeah, so from my advice, so there's no touch of the devotion. You understand? So it's just it's pratibimba nama vas, which means it's just it's not even the shadow, it's a reflection of the shadow. So it's not actually real. It looks like, but it's not actually real. Nama vas means it's a shadow, but the shadow is real. The shadow is the shadow of the actual form. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's why the neophyte advances even though they're chanting nama vas. So all the things they're looking for that they work so hard for, the neophyte's getting automatically. Mm-hmm. Like that. You know? That's the special. Because the specialty is devotion. Yes?
So what would we preach to such people when you mentioned the person who comes to the temple and he's enthusiastic and he's also nice to the other different groups?
Tell him nice is good. It means you don't want him to lose the nice. You always have to be very careful is that if there is a good quality, you don't want them to lose that. You just have to put it in the context in which they can appreciate how it applies. But the point is nice is there. It means being nice to everybody is important because it's God's creation. So therefore, we should respect every living entity. You know, not only humans, the animals, the plants, you know, it means the universal laws. Everything should be done. So that's good. So you expand the understanding. But then they also have to include God in it because it's Him that is the origin of all this. So the point is therefore, with others, then that should be the viewpoint. So one should be friendly and associate with those who understand that whole universal rather than just being friendly because that's just a specific item. But the point is this, where does that specific, why is it good? Because it's part of the universal laws. The reason being good is, being nice to people is good, is not because, you know, a bunch of people got together and decided on it. You know, there was a vote in parliament and it was, you know, it was, you know, I mean, they had a majority, Right? So therefore now that's the new universal law. You understand? It's God's law. That's why. So therefore, then one should be conscious of God. So it should associate with those who are conscious of God. Right? Does that make sense? So then that starts to stick. Because then within that, then you have so many devotees. There's so many devotees. How you'll ever know all the devotees? You know, you have hundreds of thousands of devotees. So. Right. So they're committing that aparad anyway, even if it's pratibimba nama bas, but still they're committing that offense. Because they consider it just to be, you know, another ritualistic activity. Right? It's mentioned in the Vedas, right? It gives the results. So therefore it's you know, to them it's just another karmakanda aspect.
Same for them to worship demigods or Vishnu?
I mean, for them it's all the same. It's just, you know, they'll consider Vishnu is maybe the highest, or he's the manifestation of goodness, while other demigods have other modes in them, right? And they're not going to say Indra's, you know, in goodness, right? But the point is, to them it's just different aspects of the same absolute Brahman, right? So for them it's not, it doesn't really matter. Right, in their family tradition, one family has always worshipped Vishnu, so they'll consider some Vaishnavas and stick to that because that's the family tradition. But it's not actually that they consider Vishnu to be supreme over the other ones. Is that what you're saying? Yes. So that's the weakness. Yes.
Aren't you mentioned that many people can appreciate our philosophy, but not many can relate to our culture?
So they can relate to the actual transcendental culture as presented on its pure platform. Maybe how individuals apply it.
Yeah, but I mean, many are scared away by our it's too exotic for them, how we look, how we, you know, behave ourselves. So how can I overcome this problem in the way of preaching?
But the point is exotic's not a problem. Do bananas grow in Europe?
No.
So that's exotic. You know? All the spices in Europe, where'd they come from? Someplace exotic. Right? You understand?
I mean, they just feel some cultural shock. They can't relate to this culture.
But it's presentation. Means that, you know, the shock there, but then they'll go down, they'll pay money, go down to the, what do you call it? You know, some hall, like that. And watch, you know, men walking around in striped skirts, you know, playing on funny, you know, instruments that it's like it's a sheepskin that you have to squeeze, you know, like that. But they paid money for that. Now that's weird. You know what I'm saying? You know, especially as nowadays, you know, amongst teenage girls, kilts are in. You know, so that makes it even more weird. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's the presentation. It's not that it's Indian. Right? It means what's one of the biggest things going on? The biggest, one of the biggest new waves that is in the West. It's kirtan in yoga studios. Yoga, and is that red-blooded, true blue American? No. You know, what about, you know, chanting Hare Krishna? They're chanting Hare Krishna. In the yoga studios. Karmis. They're chanting Hare Krishna. Kirtan's big. It's taking over. You know, so if you go down to the yoga studio and say, you know, we'll do kirtan, it's like, hey, great. But you're just another kirtan group. Rather than originally we were the kirtan group, now we're just a kirtan group. That's the difference. Because we're worried about being too exotic. The others aren't. You know, exotic gets you your niche, right? We already have our niche, right?
Can we say that those yoga groups, they commit the same offense?
The yoga groups commit the same offense? Means they're not looking at it as fruit of activities. It'll be more on the element of, they're looking for it as peace.
They want to feel good, they want to get some, tranquility, whatever.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, but it's on the platform of gyan rather than on karma. But it's still, but it's a little bit less. You know, because it's jnana khanda instead of karma khanda. Because this is specifically karma khanda.
But will they get the benefit then?
They'll get material benefit. You know, they'll get that peace, they'll get that, but they won't get devotion. You know, unless it's in touch with a line where it actually has pure devotion. In other words, if the devotees go at that, they're getting the peace and they're getting the bhakti sukriti.
So if the devotees chant there?
If the devotees chant there, they'll get both. But the point is they could get bhakti, but you have to let them know what it is. It means, in other words, you're doing devotional service, you don't know what you're doing, that's bhakti sukriti. You know what it is and you're doing it knowing that, that's bhakti. Right? That's why the distinction is made, even with, as you were saying the other day, of the children born in Krishna consciousness, between the ordinary and sampradayak. So ordinary means as long as they're doing it because everybody else is doing it, so actually it's bhakti sukriti. You understand? Because they don't know what they're doing. But once they know what they're doing, then it becomes bhakti. Right? So, the point is this, because it's not limited by age, at a very young age, they could be performing bhakti. Does that make sense? Or they could be going, you know, quite late until they get, you know, until their 30s, and they have kids, and then they figure out, well, what their mother said wasn't so weird after all. You know, like that. So, you know, it's just a bit of a lag there. But, you know, they still get to the position. Does that make sense? So the whole idea is that It's where it's come from, but because it is bona fide, therefore it is bhakti sukriti. But for these people, if it's just some person coming and chanting Hare Krishna, then it's not bhakti sukriti. Right? It's just, it'll be karma sukriti or jnana sukriti according to how they're viewing the name.
Maharaj?
Yes.
So karma, jnana, or bhakti sukriti has to do with the association, where you're getting it from, since
yes.
they don't know what
they're yes. doing. Yes, where you're getting it from, the consciousness and all that. You know, means you can also call devotional service, means knowingly, as bhakti sukriti, means it's the piety of devotional service.
Mm.
You know, so when the sons of Krishna, because there's 10 sons, right, and Krishna's lap is, even though it's unlimited, then for the pastimes it's only so big. So maximum he can basically stick 2 kids on his lap, right? So that means the other 8 are sitting there and contemplating what pious activities they perform to be able to sit on the lap of the Lord, right? But that's bhakti sukriti not unknown. This is bhakti sukriti known, right? You know, so here the sukriti is being used in the broader sense. It's just the piety coming from pure devotional service. Is that yeah? Okay, so I'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jaya
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jaya
Nitai Gaura Premanandi
ki.
Well, that's a lot more of these than I thought. It says all the way here. Oh. Ooh. Yeah. What's next after the smartest? Oh. Okay.
Going to the other side.
Yeah, yeah. Now we drop down from the less mode of goodness, intellectual down to the more emotional, the essential.